Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The last Sundays of the church year focus on our Lord's return on the last day. Concerning Judgment Day, Jesus asked in Luke 18, "When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" Many have wondered that very question, especially those saints who have gone before us, who have witnessed their communities fall away from the faith. Imagine living under a communist regime in which the government is going through great lengths to get people to renounce their faith, to reject that which they were taught concerning God, concerning Christ, and concerning his love and salvation. Imagine then everyone around you, one by one, rejecting that faith, or at least being unwilling to publicly profess that faith. Imagine thinking that perhaps you might be the only one still clinging to the promises of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ within hundreds of miles. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Or consider what it is like in many places in Europe. Christianity there is not forbidden. There are those state churches. But in the state churches, the gospel is corrupted. And in many places in Europe, very few bother to attend church. You may find yourself rather alone if you hold to the pure teachings of God's word, living there, wondering, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Or consider even our own land. It is unlikely that even 10% of the residents of Lexington are in church on this day, the Lord's Day. Even fewer will seek out a Thanksgiving service in which they will return thanks to God for his many blessings. Satan, that master of lies, is tirelessly working to pull people away from the Word of God. By doing so, faith dries up. Satan's work is evident. Look at the immorality, the people who are living together outside of marriage. Look at the high divorce rate, the acceptance of same-sex relationships, the substance abuse, the coveting, the gossiping, the stealing, and the hurting of reputations. There's no end to this list of sinful activity that is happening all around us, even among those who are of the household of faith. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? And then consider what is even happening within Christian churches. Christian people, those who have been taught the truths of the Bible, frequently request that their pastors refrain from teaching certain biblical doctrines. Many Christian churches no longer desire to engage in Christian discipline, church discipline, because they're afraid of losing a member. Christian churches all around have become uninterested in preserving the truth that is found in Scripture. And then truth becomes replaced with lies or half-truths. Many falsely believe that faith then is their work, or many falsely believe that baptism is their outward testimony to an inward faith, or many falsely believe that the Lord's Supper is merely a symbol of the body and blood of Christ. Look also within our own congregation. Look at the many who have confirmed their faith in this church, boldly professing before God and the congregation that they will suffer all, even death, rather than fall away from this faith, but have now left the church altogether. Look at how many who have tasted and seen that the Lord is good by receiving the body and blood of Christ for the forgiveness of all of their sin, And now they do not bother to darken the door of any church, not even on Christmas or Easter. They have no desire to raise their children in the Christian faith. Look at how many once received the blessings of God, but now find their excuses to avoid these blessings. Many are like the five virgins in today's parable who were unprepared, who did not bring oil for their lamps. That oil is that faith which is sustained by the Word of God and by the sacraments. Without this faith worked by God the Holy Spirit, they were not ready for our Lord's return. They were not found to have faith when Jesus returned. They figured that they were ready, for they knew that he would come. They had anticipated it. That's why they even bothered to line up along the street, because they knew that he was coming. But as they waited, thinking that Jesus would return, they thought he would come at a time convenient for them, and then their oil ran dry in their lamps. Consider now, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, about your own lives. Is there oil in your lamp? That is, do you have the faith required to receive everlasting life and salvation? And will your faith be sustained all your days by God the Holy Spirit through the Word and the Sacrament until that time you are called to rest in your labors, to fall asleep in the Lord, or if Jesus should come sooner when he returns? When we think about our own lives, we are tempted to say that we are very far from achieving eternal life. Now, if we only look at our own lives and the works that we have done, then yes, it is true. We are short. We have failed to live up to the perfect law of God. For as we have confessed, we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. St. Paul himself recognized his own inability to keep the perfect law of God when he wrote about his own life and the life that is common to all of us. He said in Romans 7, "For I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing that I hate. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing." So if St. Paul, that blessed apostle, finds himself doing the evil that he hates and not doing the good that he should, and if he should call himself the chief of sinners, how can anyone be counted righteous? How can any receive salvation? How can any be numbered among those who are wise, those who have that oil, that is, faith, in that unexpected time when the bridegroom returns? What, in fact, distinguishes the wise from the foolish? Was it their works or their behavior? In this parable, they had all anticipated this bridegroom to arrive. In this parable, they were all lined up along the street. In this parable, they all fell asleep as they were waiting for the bridegroom to come. So the distinction was not their even anticipation, was not their sleepiness, or their ability to perform their best, or inability, as it were. Instead, what separated the wise from the foolish was that which they concerned themselves. The foolish banked on the bridegroom's arrival to be an optimal time. They figured that they were fine, that they were safe. They could put matters of faith on hold until the circumstances in their life got better. They did not concern themselves with having oil for their lamps. They wanted to join the wedding feast. They wanted that good time, but they did not want what was needed to get there. The wise, however, knew that they were neither safe nor fine, so they brought that oil along for their lamps. They wanted to join this wedding feast. They wanted to have this good time, and so they brought with them that oil that was needed for their lamps. They kept watch. They were ready for the bridegroom's arrival. What prepares you for an eternity with God is not your good works, which of course your neighbor does need, but they do not save you. What truly prepares you is God the Holy Spirit, who works faith in you through the Word and through the sacraments. Yes, our outward actions are certainly far from the perfect standards set forth by God. But God does not save us by those works, but instead he saves us through his Son, who died on the cross on our behalf, and who works the faith in us so that we can receive that which Jesus earned for us on the cross. As Christians, we are always concerned about making God's word and sacraments a priority in our lives. We long to be in the house of God and to receive the gifts of God. For through this, we know that God is working in us that faith, that faith in Christ, which saves us and grants to us eternal life. The five wise virgins bothered to bring oil for their lamps. When you are concerned about sustaining your faith, know too that you have that oil of faith. Remember, being concerned about matters of faith is what separated those wise from the foolish. So as you live your lives, even as you are troubled by perhaps a weak faith, when you are recognizing that you have failed to do the good that God demands, as you face temptation all the time, as you remorsefully acknowledge how short and how poor your prayer life has been, know that at least you do have that oil of faith. If you did not have this faith, you would not be concerned about it. So when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Absolutely. Faith is found here among you, dear Christians. Faith is found among those who gather in God's house, who believe God's holy words of promise, who believe that Jesus truly died for them, who believe that Jesus truly offers his body and blood for the forgiveness of sins in the sacrament, who believe that their names are written in that book of life. It is true, though, that our lives are not perfect. We still sin, even while God declares us, though, as saints, by his grace through faith. For the oil of faith shows a mysterious participation with Christ. For by faith, Christ joins himself to you. He rescues you from your sin. He saves you and grants to you everlasting life. He brings you into his fold and ultimately works to bring you to be with himself in heaven. God is faithful and he will do it. After all, Jesus did what was necessary for your salvation by going to the cross, dying for you, making that sacrificial payment to take away all of your sins, and he declares you righteous. Yet we must not let this abundant promise of God turn our lives into indulgent slothfulness so that we become like those foolish virgins. We cannot take the blessings of God for granted. Today's parable teaches Jesus will return when some who had anticipated his return were not ready. They were banking on better times. And during trying times, do not become as the foolish. We live in, as they call, unprecedented times. During this pandemic, do not let your faith slip away from you. Everyone out there is saying, be safe. That is, be safe from the virus, which is, of course, fine advice. Take measures required to keep yourself from the harm of this virus, especially if you are among the vulnerable. But I also warn you to be safe. That is, be safe from Satan's assaults, which are always trying to rob you from your eternal inheritance. Know that Satan wants nothing more than for you to withdraw from God's house while trying to be safe. Know that people are falling away from the faith as they now neglect the word and the sacraments, trying to keep themselves alive. Know that Satan has targeted them, and he is also targeting you. In gaining this life, the devil wants you to lose eternal life. I would rather die from the pandemic while feasting on the word of God than die spiritually from a drought of God's word. So be safe. And that safety is found in the ark of the church through the word of God. Keep the oil of your lamps full as you hear this word of God, as you study it, meditate upon it, pray, and receive Holy Communion frequently. Cling firmly to Jesus, for he is the author and perfecter of your faith. Listen to him, for he alone will truly keep you safe in his arms and shepherd you and guide you to life eternal. You belong to him, for you have joined into Christ's death and resurrection in holy baptism. He has redeemed you through his death on the cross and through his glorious resurrection from the grave. He has done this for you because you are precious to him. What a joy it will be when our Lord Jesus returns and ushers you into his eternal kingdom. As joyful as it is to watch a couple to join as one in holy matrimony, so it will be even more joyful when our bridegroom returns, when Jesus comes for his bride, the church. For when Jesus does so, he will sanctify his bride, the church, having already cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. This, my friends, belongs to you and to all who abide in him. So joyfully keep watch, knowing that your salvation is here. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.